Hey team, I'm Corey and I go by Corey JA online, and it's been a while since I did anything like this. I used to do some live streams on Twitch and YouTube a couple years back, but I haven't done anything in a while, and I'm excited to start something new with this podcast. So I'm Corey. I've been doing web dev for 20-ish years at this point, and I've focused on Rust recently. I do Rails and React in the day job, but I like Rust personally. And recently in 2026, I took over leading the Battlesnake project, which we'll hear more about in this podcast for sure. And I'm a side project addict. I always have at least a few side projects going on at a time. And that's kind of the point of the show, is really that I've got a lot of stuff going on and I like talking about them and I want to do better about sharing it with you all and the world. And so that's why we're here today. I'm going to do this solo podcast, talk about what I'm building. What's breaking, what's working, what I'm having fun with, and go from there. If you want to be on or want some guests to join me and do some interviews, I'd love to do that too. So, reach out, let me know. You can find me all over the internet as Corey JA or CoreyJA.com on Blue Sky. And that's also my blog, Corey JA on GitHub. I'm all over. So let's dive right in and see what we're going to talk about today. So I think what we're going to talk about today first is just like what the hell I've been up to recently. So I stopped streaming, I don't know, maybe 18-ish months ago, mostly just personal life reasons. My daughter was born about 12 months ago. So, lots of changes for me recently. And then, lots of changes in our industry. About 12 months ago now, Claude Code came out and AI agents are all the storm. And I've been having a blast with them over the last 12 months. And this might honestly be the most productive 12 months of coding I've done. And I've been known to write some code in the past. So it's been impressive for sure. And so, yeah, I want to talk about some of the things I've worked on recently, some of the projects that are spinning around in my head, just to share, chat about what I'm doing. And then I think we're going to deep dive into one of them that I've been focusing on recently called Mole. And let's just start with that one anyway. So Mole is an agent orchestration system that I've been working on. And I blogged about it a little bit before. I'm initially calling it my personal development environment. It's like an IDE, right? Like an integrated development environment, but it's written for my workflow. It's written for me. And I've been liking it a lot. And it was, written for me exactly how I work. But I've been evolving it over the last couple months here now. And I think it might be in a place where other people can get value from it. Like, it's definitely an opinionated tool. It does the workflow that I like. But from talking to some friends and stuff, I think maybe there's some value in sharing that. So that's really what I've been working on is getting Mole ready to go. And we're going to dive into Autopilot, one of its like kind of core features here, in the second half of this podcast, I think. So I mentioned Battlesnake. I've been playing Battlesnake for 3 or 4 years now, something like that. Maybe even a little longer now. And I love it. You can check it out at play.battlesnake.com for the live site. And basically you make a AI, old school AI, you make a program that acts as your snake's brain, and every turn it decides which direction to go, and you're trying to survive on the board with some other snakes as long as you can. And at the beginning of this year, I took over the hosting and maintenance and everything for Battlesnake, and I've been having a lot of fun with that. So we are continuing to use the existing site and doing the leaderboards and having a lot of fun in Discord. And then in the background, I'm also doing kind of a rewrite because, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I really like Rust and it's really what I want to write code in and review code in. And so we're rewriting the Battlesnake engine, site, everything in Rust. It's going to be fully Rust when we're done with it, and I'm excited. You can hop by the Battlesnake Discord. There should be a link to the Discord on play.battlesnake.com if you want to come chat and see how that's going. We have a very alpha site in Rust that's going, and we're working on the game engine now. So it is a good time, and I'm really excited for Battlesnake's future. It's an exciting time. I think the industry is changing, but I think that'll be a fun time to, keep on learning through Battlesnake, as is always the, always the plan. Let's see. I'm looking at my list of other projects that I wanted to talk about. So the next one is codenamed GAR. It probably needs a new name eventually. But GAR just stands for GitHub Action Runners, and it's an app to manage some self-hosted GitHub Action Runners. My timing here maybe isn't perfect with GitHub now charging for self-hosted runners here very, very soon. But that's okay. It's still cheaper than paying someone in the cloud for all my runners. And especially now that I've been doing a lot more coding and AI coding in the last couple months, my CI bills went through the roof because I have my agent just push up to PRs and run CI there. And so I was running on a lot of CI, and it was, upwards of $100 a month for GitHub Actions. So Gar lives on an extra Mac that I have, my wife's Mac Studio in the next room. And it spins up some Linux VMs, connects them to GitHub Actions runners, and manages that whole self-hosted lifecycle for me. So it right now it's a CLI. The end goal is for it to be a menu bar app where you can click the menu bar app and manage it all visually. And so working on that, it's now currently running. It's where all of my CI is running now, or most of it. And so I want to get the menu bar app and like the UX of that polished up, but maybe we'll get a CLI release out of that quicker. If you're interested, hit me up. Me and my wife have a business called Lavender Iguana, where we make WordPress sites for local businesses and stuff like that. And one of the other projects I've been working on is called Bake. It takes a WordPress site and it staticifies it. And the reason for that is WordPress is kind of like the old school best website builder. Like, it's got so many extensions, so many themes. The community of it has, been around for years and years. There's a plugin for everything. And that's great and it's awesome. But I don't really like managing WordPress sites, and I don't really like having them exposed to the open internet. They're slow, they require lots of, a big VPS, and they're just not my favorite to run. They're prime targets for hacking and malware and stuff. And so I like WordPress for generation. I have my nits with it, but it's a good tool. But I don't really like hosting WordPress sites. So I have this tool called Bake that will take a WordPress site and staticify it. It finds the sitemap, crawls it to explore all the pages, and then it makes static versions of all the HTML, pulls in any CSS and JavaScript it needs. You can optionally tell it to pull some from CDNs or download some to be local. And then you can push it to a static server. So how I actually have it set is all of the different WordPress sites that I host, we can what I call bake, bake them into a Rust binary. And then I have one Rust server that uses host headers, it knows which site you're requesting and displays the right cached baked version based on the header. So I get one server that really powers n number of WordPress sites. I think I'm running three or four on it at the moment. And that's going really well. I can run a lot more sites a lot cheaper with this Rust service. It's just serving things out of memory. It's not even really serving them off disk because they're embedded in the binary. So it's just out of memory. It's blazing fast, and the surface area is like so reduced. So I'm really liking that better than my WordPress deploys. Again, for all of these, I think all of these are private at the moment, really. The alpha for the Battlesnakes out there, you can go play with it if you are excited about some alpha software. But for the most part, all of these are behind closed doors at the moment. I'd love to share them. So if you're interested about any of them, please hit me up. And then I have a bunch of other small CLIs. I think another future podcast episode will probably be about my thoughts on AI. Well, we'll definitely talk about some AI agents coming up, but MCPs versus CLIs. At the moment, I'm very big on CLIs. Initially, I think me and the whole industry was going into MCPs, and I've switched over to CLIs. All of my agents are full Claude Code agents. They have Bash and they have a Bash terminal. They can use CLIs. I find this just way better than MCPs. So I've been building a bunch of small CLIs for my agent to use. I have one called Stamp that integrates with Fastmail for reading my email and organizing it. I got a Pork Bun CLI for managing my domains. I have Quiver, which is a skills manager, so that I can have multiple skills repos and it symlinks them for me. And there's a few more that I don't think I have listed here. And so I want to get these published, right? These are all these small tools or things that I'll probably just, open source, publish, and get out there, for everyone to play with. And so, yeah, that's all of the small projects. I'll definitely have some more small CLIs that I'll whip up and excited to share them with you. But the real thing that I wanted to talk about today was this Mole autopilot pipeline. And this isn't actually where Mole started. So Mole is this AI agent orchestrator I've been working on. It's also an agent memory, and that's really where I started, right? I really thought I just wanted to build something so that my Claude Code could remember things about me, my work style, my projects, and things like that, so each session wasn't so fresh. And that's where I started, and I think that's been a great part, and that's not going anywhere. That's a pretty core to the Mole system here. But the other thing that kind of has evolved as I've been using it, and that's the thing that's been really cool. I've been using Mole for basically all of my coding since the first week of its existence, right? I got it to a place where I could use it pretty quickly, and I've been iterating from there, and I've really loved that. Mole has been my development environment for the past 2 months. And it's just getting better over time. And I'm really excited about it. And the feature that's like really crystallizing as the thing that I'm liking, I think there's value to, is what I'm calling the autopilot pipeline. And this is not something that, like, you know, is super unique to me. This is the general idea here, is something that the industry is definitely moving towards. And I can put some links in the show notes for some other people that are doing similar things. I'm getting a lot of my, you know, I'm currently on Blue Sky. I get a lot of AI people and things there. And that's kind of where a lot of my inspiration comes from. So there will likely be some Blue Sky links in the show notes below. Dahl, for instance, does a lot about these critique passes that I've taken ideas from and stuff. So definitely a lot of good people on Blue Sky to be learning from here. But the idea of autopilot is really that these coding agents are really, really good. And they're really good if you give them one thing to do at a time. But that doesn't mean they can only do one thing, right? It just means that each agent session, each invocation, really does best when it has one goal. And we can just like put on our engineering process hats a little bit, right? And think about the steps of the process to get you from an idea to a pull request, break those into individual segments, and then have the agent do each of those in isolation so it has one goal, but when you compose them all together, you get from an idea to a pull request, basically. And that's the idea behind autopilot. And it is called autopilot, right? At least at the moment. We'll see about branding. But like, I want to make clear that like one of the things that was really important to me about this is that it is human in the loop, right? Like, let's be concrete, right? So the steps here are like, you have an idea, and you click autopilot on a task. So maybe this is a linear task. Maybe this is a task you wrote. Mole supports both linear and internal tasks. Defines what you want to do, right? So the first thing that we do is we actually check that task. We run it through a small model and be like, okay, does this have acceptance criteria? Does this have a reason? Like, does it have all of the things that make a good task? And of course, I don't remember all of our bullet points that we have in that prompt off the top of my head. But, you know, we have a good prompt. We have a good prompt to verify that this is a good task to work on. Sorry, the terms get a little messy. So we give it a, we check it, right? It gives it either a thumbs up or a thumbs down. If it gets a thumbs up, we kick it back to the next part of the process. We don't kick it back. We go forward to the next part of the process. But if it's not, we launch an interactive session with the user, you, where Claude or whichever model, it also works with Gemini or the Pi handler, to interview you. It asks questions. It looks at your current context, what's in its memory, and it tries to flesh out the task to get it all the details. So once you have a task that has acceptance criteria and like really detailed all the things that you're going to need to do, the next step is to create a plan. So a task is kind of like the general what needs to happen. The plan is how are we going to do it? And so we want to make that plan. And autopilot has a few steps to get us there because we don't actually just go write the plan from scratch. We could, but like I found that there's other things we can do. Remember at the very beginning, I said that Mole's also a memory system. So it's learning from things at the end of every session. It goes through and tries to pull out things that it learned and to remember next time. And we can talk about that more later. It's very similar to Leta memory blocks. They've got some really good research if you want to look into that. But more on that later. But we have this memory, right? And we want to use it, right? We want to make sure we're actually using this knowledge repository that we're building up. So before we even, the first step is to draft a plan. I lied a little bit. We do write a first draft. We get our ideas down, right? We go from the task and we draft up a plan. When I first started doing this, that was it, right? We wrote a plan, I looked at it, and then maybe we kicked off implementation. But now I've got some more cycles in the middle. And the first thing here is an enrich step. And this specifically instructs the agent to go out to that content library, that knowledge that we're building up in markdown files, and see if there's learnings from past implementations, past plannings, past interactive chats that might apply and help us out here. This enrich step took it from maybe looking at learnings like 1-5% of the time to like 97% of the time, right? Now there's a step that explicitly is about looking in the memory for things that could improve this plan. Like you can't skip it. It's just a step in the plan. And that's like, it really helped it in the memory. Like the memory and this plan together really created some symbiosis. But then we've enriched it, right? We've looked at our memory. We've looked at all the experience we've had. We've made the plan better. We ready to implement it yet? No, we're not. We got to take a look, right? There's going to be things missing from the plan. We got to critique it. We got to make sure there aren't holes. So I go into a critique and revise loop where like we critique the plan and then we revise it and then we critique it again and revise it until the critique agent gives it an approved. Or, you know, I have a max, right? So if you do three rounds, you know, and it doesn't get approved, it stops for a human just for infinite loop protection. But what you're really looking for is the critique agent to give it a thumbs up. You know, there's no holes. Everything in the plan is correct. There's no files that don't exist. All the line numbers match up, yada, 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 right? And we do that critique and revise loop. One thing that's really cool about Mol, and again, took this from other people. This was not a unique invention of mine, but I'm really liking it. Is that these critique and revise steps can run with different models. I very often use Opus for drafting the plan and for revising it, but I am really liking Gemini for the critique rounds. So I use Gemini, which, you know, different models, but usually the 3 Pro at the moment for the critique rounds, and then go back to Opus for revising. And these different models catch different things that I seem to notice, right? So it is nice to have the ability to do this cross-model thing. And then once we're done with critique and revise and some model gave it a thumbs up, now it's time for me to look at it, right? So the autopilot pipeline pauses here. It doesn't fully implement, and that's important, right? I definitely want to look at the plan before we move to implementation, because I have context the agent doesn't. Like, we're not replacing humans here, right? We're making a development environment that's good for me. I'm not being replaced. It's just making my job faster, my life easier. So we pause here and I review the plan, right? So now we're just in markdown review land. I can open up a thing to interactively chat with the agent if I want to work on it that way. I can, this is all stored just in markdown in a Git repo. So I can pull it down, edit the plan, push it back up if I want. Whatever I want to do. And then eventually, though, I'm going to approve the plan, and we're going to move to implementing. And implementing follows a really similar pattern to critiquing, where the first step is we actually are going to write some failing tests, right? We want to write some tests first that are like the acceptance criteria for this task. So looking at the plan and the task, what type of tests can we write ahead of time that we will need to make sure they pass or else this task isn't implemented. And once we have those tasks, we go to a implement and review loop. So we implement it, and then we review it, and we keep looping on that again until the review gives it a thumbs up. Explicitly, I don't have it merge at the end of this. The end result of that implement and revise loop is a pull request that then I go review, maybe chat with more, maybe edit, maybe just click the merge button, and then we go through. So we stop at each different point of the pipeline. There's human review. It's not fully automated, but it really does help me. After that pipeline, we open up a PR, and then I review the PR like normal. You know, maybe I edit the files, maybe I chat with Mol again to make some changes, maybe I pull it down locally and make the changes. But importantly, right, it's not merging the PR for me. It's doing reviews, telling me that it thinks it's in a good state, giving me a summary, but I'm still going through, looking at the code, and giving it that final approval. And like, we can talk about some stats. It's only been me so far really using this, but over one weekend, I merged 42 PRs in three different projects. And most of those were from autopilot. Looks like, according to my stats, 22 or 23 of them were fully from autopilot successes. And so 42 PRs in a weekend in 38 hours, according to my stats here, is a lot. Like I said at the very beginning of this, this is by far the most amount of code I have written in my life here recently. And like 92% of these have a first pass CI rate. So this whole cycle really does help by the time we make it to the CI step at the end that, you know, we really are confident that it's going to pass. It doesn't always. It fails and then it iterates on them. But like, you know, it's important that we have all these gates. And nothing is always sunshine and rainbows, though, right? There definitely have been things like, you know, there's definitely some real bugs in Mol right now. I hit race conditions where jobs conflict a lot. They get stuck in the queue and we can't proceed. But, you know, we're catching all of them. We're wrapping them all up. I'm feeling much better about the implementation at the moment. And like, I think the idea of autopilot really is resonating with me and really does seem like it fits the workflow. Obviously, the exact, you know, how mine works, how it's implemented there, there's some love that it could take. But the idea seems really solid. And I like that we're also seeing lots of other people finding basically the same workflow independently just gives me confidence that, like, you know, it's a good direction. And, you know, I'm not all off here doing my own thing in crazy pants land. And so, yeah, to wrap up on autopilot here, I think it's easy to initially look at something described like this and think of it as magic. But when you're actually using it and playing with it and developing on it, it's not magic. It's just a productivity tool. It's a productivity multiplier. I think the biggest change for me is that I'm not sitting, like, when I'm coding and when I'm productive, I'm not at my keyboard anymore typing, right? I'm up and about. I transcribe messages into the voice chat in Mole while I'm doing dishes or playing with my daughter. And, like, it's a real productivity multiplier because I can be doing other things while the code is working for me and still making progress. And it's just been a real game changer for me. And I'm excited to wrap it up a little bit, put a bow and polish on it, and share it with all of you. Because that's really, you know, what I'm looking to do here is share this and see what everyone likes. And so I think I've yammered on about autopilot enough for the moment, especially when you guys can't even see it yet. So I will wrap up here and get back to working on it so that we can share it in one of these future episodes. So I hope you enjoyed. I hope you come back and hang out with me again next week. Actually, probably won't be next week. I think we're going to do these every other week. So I'll record in another 2 weeks and we'll try to get another episode out. I think we'll probably do some Battlesnake stuff next time. I think I want to focus on Battlesnake, talk about what the plan is, where we're at, and do that. So that is going to be my plan for next week. You know where to find me. In the meantime, though, I'm Corey J.A. just about everywhere on the internet. CoreyJA.com is the blog. CoreyJA.com is also the Blue Sky. CoreyJA on GitHub. From my blog, you should be able to find a link to my Discord server if you want to come and hang out there. You can also send me an email at podcast@coreyja.com. And yeah, I'd love to hear from you. I'd like to hear what you thought about the podcast, other things you want me to talk about. Any feedback or questions are welcome. So thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for letting me talk for the last 30 minutes here at you. And I'm excited for all these projects. I want to get some of them shipped and shared with you all. I'm really excited to be sharing what I've been working on recently with everyone. And I think this podcast is going to be a perfect place for me to do that. So I will see you all in about 2 weeks. In the meantime, have fun coding, and I'll see you then, team. Thanks.